Hello, everybody. Welcome to the MTG Place podcast. I am your host, Corey, and with me, like always, is James. How's it going, James?
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
I just got back from the dentist, so I'm doing that.
That sounds like a good time. Stuff. Well, as you all, I'm sure, can see, I'm not in a kitchen anymore. I'm in a freaking office because we moved. So, yeah, it's been very, very busy with that, but nice. I won't have people like randomly behind me now. So that's great.
So yeah. And then a couple ways you could support the podcast today. The TCG player affiliate link is in the show notes and on our website, mtgplace.net. You just click that link. It'll bring you to the regular TCG player website, but it'll let them know that we sent you over there to help support our podcast, because we know you're going to buy cards anyway. Possibly you'll buy some ones you're going to talk about today, but they'll be really expensive, so you might buy different versions. But and then the second way you can support us is directly on Patreon. We have four different tier levels. You can have ones where you can play Commander with us and all that stuff to help support us directly. So we appreciate everyone who does so. You can also, if you're in our Discord, go ahead and or if you're not, go ahead and join that. And if you are on our Discord, we now have the server subscriptions. You can sign up through there as well, which will go to directly support us. You can play Commander games with us, enter in for giveaways whenever we decide to do that. And you can possibly even be on some of our recorded shows here. We're going to start doing some Commander gameplay videos. So,
yes, indeed. It's going to be good to play with anyone who wants to, for sure.
Yeah, and you can find all those videos over on the YouTube channel. You can also find a link to that on the website as well. Again, mtgplace.net has all of our old podcasts all the way back to episode one, all in audio form, and it has a link to our YouTube channel and the Patreon to sign up over there.
Ah, yes, our pre-video days.
Yeah. Now every episode, obviously, is in audio and video. Also, we got a little bit of Magic news here. First up, Magic Con in Minneapolis. You're going, right, James?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah,
as I'm going to be going. Get in.
I bought my tickets already. I did apply for the creator badge. I don't know if I'll get approved or not, because I don't know if we're big enough yet. But
yeah, we're pretty small. But you never know.
But they did fix some things that people had complaints about in Philadelphia, like the command zone being an add-on. Now it is not. It's just included with everyone's ticket. So if you buy a ticket, you can play Commander in the command zone.
Which, I'm definitely all about that. I honestly, Commander is probably what I want to play mostly. Oh my god, don't die.
Yeah, I might need to get some water or something, but we'll see.
Yeah. But I mean, because the main event's what, Modern or Sealed?
I don't know yet. They haven't announced it.
Oh, we actually don't know. Oh, okay.
Yeah. They haven't announced any of the side events or anything. I just know it's going to be $120. I don't know what it is.
Well, we'll find out.
And it's going to be like Pro Tour qualifiers. So, like, if you win, you just write in the Pro Tour the next day.
Sweet.
All right. So, single day tickets are on sale. So all the tickets right now are on sale for the entry passes. So you have to buy the entry passes, and then once they announce the side events, you have to buy those events separately. Entry passes, single day is $30 for one day, and you get a foil Arcane Signet promo. The whole weekend is $65, and you get the promo card. Premium single day is $55. You get entry to one day, promo Arcane Signet, a mystery booster, and three March of the Machine boosters. And then there's the premium weekend, which is what I did for one of mine. You get the whole weekend access, two promo Arcane Signets, a mystery booster convention, six March of the Machine draft boosters, the exclusive Minneapolis Magic Con playmat, and Magic Con deck box and sleeves.
Sounds sick, honestly.
Then they have some crazy expensive ones if you really want to go all out.
the whale versions.
Yeah, legendary VIP for $350. You get the 2 promo cards, 3 mystery boosters, 3 March of the Machine collector's packs, an exclusive Commander VIP playmat, an exclusive deck box, Commander Party with Commander Luminaries, an official pin, 10% off merchandise, some sort of Commander merch item to be announced later, a social event with the Magic the Gathering notables, and a branded messenger bag.
Sounds pricey.
Yeah, and then they have the Black Lotus VIP for $700. You get a lanyard, an exclusive water bottle, a snapback hat, a pin, a backpack, the official MagicCon pin, 4 promo arcane signets, 3 mystery boosters, 3 collector's boosters of March of the Machine, the Minneapolis playmat, the Minneapolis deck box and sleeves, the Secret Lair legendary flyers, 10% off MagicCon show store merchandise, a dedicated VIP entry door, early access to the show floor, exclusive Black Lotus VIP offsite event, Friday, 7:30 p.m., a social event with the Magic the Gathering notables, a VIP play event, signing opportunities with the notables, and a VIP lounge with 3 booster packs in it for you each day.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of stuff. A little above my budget, though.
Yeah, from what I've heard and the people that have actually gone to like the Philadelphia one and stuff, it's not worth the VIP unless you care about meeting all of the, you know,
notable right, people, yeah. People it's for like the it's for the meetups. And, like, yeah. That makes sense.
Rosewater and stuff, like. So if you're cool about that, I mean, obviously in Vegas, they gave everyone the, you know, $1,000 worth of packs from the
right, which
thing, which, but they didn't do that at Philadelphia. So you got to assume they're not going to do that.
Can't assume.
Yeah. And then kids are $20 for a single day, $50 for the weekend.
Right. Which that's, I'm glad they do that because I mean, events like this for kids is definitely like kind of a, you know, a fun thing for them to really get into it. So it's good that that is, you know, not too expensive.
Yeah, kids also get a starter deck with their entry fee.
Nice.
So if you want to learn to play Magic, you can come play.
It's a good time to do it. You have a lot of people to help you.
So it's not too bad. I bought my entry pass for the weekend. I will be there all weekend except for Saturday night because I have a concert at the same time.
Yep, I believe I should be there the entire weekend as well. I don't really have anything going on that I know of. So, yeah, it should be a good time. This is our first like event in Minneapolis for Magic since, God, when was that?
Pre-COVID.
2018?
2018 or 19.
Something like that, yeah. It's been a few years, so it's going to be good to actually play physical Magic. This is probably the first time I played, honestly, physical Magic. At least in a tournament setting.
Yeah,
in
like a tournament setting like we've played.
Yeah, outside of just like, you know, kitchen top like we do.
Then a little bit of other shocking news. They decided with Lord of the Rings to actually print like the One Ring.
Yeah, the One Ring.
And it is the One Ring card, but it's in, I think it's like Elven text or Lord of the Ring text of some kind.
Yeah, it's, I forget what it is. It's the language of Mordor, though. I can't remember what the name of it is. I'm not enough of a Lord of the Rings nerd to know, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same language that the ring is inscripted in.
Yeah, and it's only found in collector's packs, and it's going to be a one of one, so it's going to be like you hit this, you know, it's you probably got a $20,000 card on your hand or so.
Yeah, if you hit this, you hit basically the lottery here.
Yeah. My thing is, though, since the one of one, it's probably going to end up sitting in a warehouse somewhere, or the, you know, a friend of an employee is going to open it.
Yeah, that's usually what happens with stuff like this, unfortunately.
Or it's going to end up being like sports cards. And they're going to be like, oops, we accidentally printed more than one.
That would be kind of funny, honestly. So I guess we'll see what happens with this. I mean, it looks sick as fuck. Don't get me wrong, but but yeah, we're probably never gonna see this, unfortunately.
Yeah, if I opened it, I'd immediately auction it off and
sell it to the highest bidder.
A house or something, like.
Yeah, you could basically buy a house with this thing. It'll basically be the price of a Lotus or something.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather just have the Lotus.
Yeah, just trade it for Power 9.
So today we're gonna do something a little bit different. We're gonna do our normal set review we usually do, but when we started, Midnight Hunt was the newest set. I think that was back in our first episode we reviewed Midnight Hunt.
Yeah, that was couple years back.
And nobody ever talks about the old guards or anything, so we're going to do what we're calling our retro review series, and we're going to start with Alpha, and so today we're going to do Alpha, and we're going to keep doing it until we get through all the sets and catch up to Midnight Hunt. And tell you what we think the cards are, what the impact of on Commander, from Commander, and if they're even still playable today, you know.
Yeah, so a lot of these are kind of weird, so yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to start with Alpha, go in Wooburg order. We did only do Commander legal cards, so most of the power we filter out with the exception of Time Twister.
Twister, yep.
And we're only talking about Rares and Mythics, so we... It won't include like Demonic Tutor because that was uncommon in the Alpha, and Swords of Plowshares or Lightning Greaves, stuff like that. So there's going to be Rares and Mythics. And so do you have it up here? Do you want to go through the first one here?
I will do that. So starting with our first card is Anime Wall. It is 1W for an enchantment that's an aura, and it's Enchant Wall. Enchanted Wall can attack as though it didn't have Defender. So this card, there's some cards that do this, generally as a special effect, but of course this is very cheap to do such a thing.
Yeah, so in Commander, the only place I could see you possibly playing it is if you built the Defender / Walls deck.
Yeah,
with that Commander that's specifically made for that. Outside of that, I don't think you're ever going to see this card. And probably even in that deck, there's probably better cards that just allow all walls to attack nowadays. But
yeah, because it's just one. Yeah. Oh, and the thing is, most walls have zero power anyway, so usually it's not really worth it. But yeah.
Right. All right. Next card we got is a card we actually see from time to time. It's Armageddon. Blows up all lands in play. Still played. People kind of hate you when you do because you're blowing
this
up all lands.
This is a pretty salty card. And is there? There are several commander pods that I've been in where this was on a ban list. And if you played this, you were not allowed to play. They did not like you.
Yeah. It's basically
very dick move.
Your lands are gone. Good luck. I got mana rocks, or I held land in my hand.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
But it's a card that is played still.
It is definitely played, yeah. And it is very good for what it does. Next, we have Blaze of Glory. It is 1W for an instant. Cast this spell only during combat before blockers are declared. Target creature defending player controls can block any number of creatures this turn. It blocks each attacking creature this turn if able.
Okay, so thank you for reading the new Oracle text, because I would not have gotten from what's on the picture.
I'm reading new Oracle, because the old stuff's weird.
So basically it allows your creature to block multiple creatures, and you have to block everything that's attacking?
Yeah. It's kind of like 100-handed one, in a way, or like there's some of those cards where... it can block more than one thing.
I really don't think that this is worth playing unless you have some bajillion attack, zero toughness, one toughness.
Yeah, death somebody toucher. Can actually just kill their board.
Yeah.
I mean, if it has death touch or something, maybe that might be worth it.
But you still can only assign one damage per creature, so you need quite a
That's
few
true.
Power.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's worth running. You might as well just play a kill spell.
Yep.
Or deal X damage to target attacking creature or something.
Yeah. Or even they have like provoke. What's the one where like you force something or goad? Is that what it is? Yeah, it's like attack and stuff.
Yeah, goad forces you to attack. Yeah.
I mean, it's basically, you know, that's almost better than this because you have more control over it.
Next up, we got Blessing. It's a white for an enchantment that goes on a creature, and it gives the enchantment pay a white and gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
So that's not so good anymore.
Yeah, it's not so good anymore. I mean, you could still play it if you just want to be flavorful in like an enchantress deck, but mm-hmm. I mean, we have one mana get 1/1 for every enchantment in play is just better.
Yeah, like there's like the Eidolon decks that are out there where like enchantments matter. Like they are way better with your mana nowadays. Next up, we got Farmstead. It is white for an aura enchantment that has that, and it's an enchant land. Enchanted land has at the beginning of your upkeep, you may pay 2 white. If you do, gain 1 life. So this also is not amazing anymore.
No, I mean you got to pay 5 mana to gain 1 life and 2 mana to return to gain 1 life.
There's like Essence Warden and Soul Warden that literally do this like as a trigger.
Right.
You know, you pay like nothing.
The Jadi offshoot that is when you play a land, you gain a life. Like,
So you're not going to see this.
You can tell from the first set of Magic, a lot of cards have been outclassed now.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Island Sanctuary. It's 1 and a white for an enchantment. Okay, the Oracle text probably says this differently, but you may decline to draw a card from your library during your draw phase. In exchange, until the start of your next turn, the only creatures that can damage you are those that have flying or island walk. So what's the reworded on that?
So if you would draw a card during your draw step, instead, you may skip that draw. If you do, until your next turn, you can't be attacked except by creatures with flying and or island walk.
So this is honestly this is honestly playable, though. Like
it's yeah, it's kind of like card. A prison effect in a way.
Yeah.
It's the same cost as one, basically.
You're just, declining your draw to do so.
I think that's kind of similar to Elephant Grass, if I remember right. I think that has a similar thing, where you don't draw, or you don't do something. Nothing can attack you. So that's kind of a similar deal.
So I haven't seen this very much just because it's expensive as an old card, but you could play it in like a Field Fort type deck. You would definitely want another way to draw cards though. Or else you're just never gonna draw a card.
Definitely.
And if they have flyers or island walk creatures out, then this is just sucks.
Yeah, that is worthless. Yeah, it's very situational and there's other prison effects that do the same thing, but you don't have to, they're just better. Next up, I got Northern Paladin. It is 2 white for a human knight creature. It also has pay 2 white and tap it, destroy target black permanent, and it's a 3/3. So this is just a black hate card.
Yeah. I mean, you could play this. Dick. If someone, plays mono black, I guess you could play this.
Yeah. It costs 4, though. Which
4
is
for
not
a 3/3 and 2 and tap to do its ability. Like, you could play Royal Assassin or something. Like.
Yeah.
I mean, but it is a destroy spell in white. Like,
white doesn't have a ton of those spells, so I could see it. But yeah, there's better stuff now.
next up, we got Personal Incarnation. It's 3 white for a 6/6 summon avatar. Caster can redirect any or all damage done to Personal Incarnation to himself instead. The source of the damage is unchanged. If Personal Incarnation is destroyed, the caster loses half or his remaining life points rounding up. So I'm guessing it's any damage done to this, you can choose to take instead, and when it dies, you lose half your life.
Yeah, when it dies, it's one of those, is their half their life rounded up. Yep.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. If there's a way you like can make it like indestructible or something, then
wait,
yeah.
Does it say owner?
Yes, it says owner.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's too bad it's not when it leaves the battlefield, because then you could like gift it to them.
Oh, I know. But this is fucking Zedru. Oh my god. That would be so mean.
But if it says owner, then you're always gonna lose the life. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is like unplayable. Like, you're not.
Yeah, it's not good. Okay, my turn. Yes. Next up is Pure Lace. It is one white for an instant. Target spell or permanent becomes white. And yeah, of course, back in the day they called instances interrupts, which is, I think, is kind of funny.
So it interrupts what you're doing. So this, we usually don't see these effects played very much. There is some new commander card. We're playing these kind of cards, targets, and then it triggers like a targeted ability of some commander. You know what it is.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, you're probably not going to play this.
No, probably not. Like, it's, I really don't see the point. I mean, even for, like, things like devotion, like, devotion only counts the pips. It doesn't count, like, what the card color is.
It's, like, the actual use for this would be, like, if you have protection from white or, like, circle protection white.
Right, yeah, it's to get around that, maybe. But you don't usually see stuff like that very often. Like, you see it sometimes, but it's kind of rare nowadays.
Right, and it's not usually worth the card spot in your deck.
No. Even for one mana, it's just not worth it.
Next up, we got Reverse Damage. One white for all damage you have taken from a source this turn is added to your life total instead. So you gain life instead of losing life.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, that's actually a decent card. It's kind of like a fog, but you gain the life instead.
Yeah, I'd say that's playable. And there aren't really a ton of cards that do this. I mean, I think there's some, but not very many I can think of. So yeah, that's one I could actually see maybe played.
Yeah, it's definitely playable. Like, people play that like Deflecting Palm and stuff in
Red, yeah, Boros. Stuff like this, that
kind of a similar effect.
Next up, we got Righteousness. It is one white for an instant. Target blocking creature gets +7/+7 until end of turn. That's not bad.
Yeah, but think of, in Alpha, this was a rare. This is like a common now.
I think there's literally, do they, I've seen this card, I don't know if it's this card exactly, but it's something similar.
They literally reprinted this card, I'm pretty sure.
I can't remember. Like, yeah.
But I mean, it's still a good effect if you need to block something, +7/+7, but you're only going to play that if you are like a combat trick type deck.
Yeah.
Next up, we got good old Savannah Alliance, 1/2/1. It's still played in Modern Zoo, kind of, or Legacy Zoo, maybe.
Yeah, like cheap.
I don't know. It might have been outclassed by now, but
I mean, there's stuff like Wild Nacatl now that's like one for like basically a 4/4 now or whatever it is, and things like that.
So I mean, like, you might see it occasionally, but I don't think you can see it Commander unless you're playing like a Lion Tribal deck or something.
Yeah, maybe if you want like a Cat Tribal.
Yeah.
Because the new Oracle does call it a Cat, so.
So it might be in Cat Tribal.
But it's one for a 2/1, and it's very vanilla, so you know, it's not really a whole lot going with that. Next we got Veteran Bodyguard. It is 3 white for a human creature, as the new Oracle says. As long as Veteran Bodyguard is untapped, all damage that would be dealt to you by unblocked creatures is dealt to Veteran Bodyguard instead, and he's a 2/5.
As long as he's untapped?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, because it says unless it's tapped on here. Okay, I was like, what the heck? This is worded weird. So what happens when you take the damage by unblock, or damage you take is done to the bodyguard?
Yeah.
So it's like a pariah effect, basically. It just
deals to that creature. By unblocked creatures,
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it costs a lot.
I don't know if I'm going to pay 5 for a 2/5.
5 mana is a lot.
Pariah costs 1 and gives this effect to any creature.
Exactly. A lot better.
Next up, we got OG, Wrath of God, still playing
pretty
much every white deck. It is kind of the standard for kills for destroy all spells of 4. Like, there's not very, I don't know if there is, there might be one or two now, but there's not very many that cost less than four, so.
Not really, at least without bad, like, downsides or yeah, something like that. Like,
I think Pontu's whatever does, but you have to skip your own tap set.
Yeah.
And that costs rough. Three, I think. But, like, so four mana, destroy all. Can't be a
pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, that's just, yeah, there's, you see it everywhere, man. You will see it. Played in Commander at some point in your life, that's for sure. So yeah, that's white. Yeah, a couple OG cards, but all outside of that, a lot of these are pretty outclassed, unfortunately.
Pretty sure the only one I play out of all of these is Wrath of God.
Yeah, same. I've seen Armageddon played before, but I definitely don't play it because I'm not that kind of person.
I've had it played against me too, but I don't personally play
it. Pretty crappy. All right, we are on to blue. The first blue card is Brain Geyser. It is X blue blue for a sorcery. Target player draws X cards. So it's a Mind Spring that costs one more, basically.
Yeah. It's a sorcery as well. People usually have been playing Blue Sun Zenith instead because it shuffles in your deck.
Right.
Which I think costs one more thing. Blue, doesn't it? Or does it cost the same?
I think it's similar.
It might be the same. Yeah, but Brain Geyser effects, like, there's some decks that just want as many of these effects as possible, so you can keep drawing. So then you play this, and Mind Spring, and Blue Sun, and all that. So Blue Sun is supposed to be the preferred one, but you still see this effect, and this card is still playable today.
Yep. It's not bad.
But next up, we got Copy Artifact. You pick an artifact in play, and it enters as a copy of that. And this is actually an expensive card that does see a lot of play because
it's very good. Because we all know
it costs two mana to copy something.
I mean, just goes to show if you watched the podcast last week, the number one deck in Commander right now is Artifacts, and for very good reason. And this card is a big part of that.
Yeah.
It's like, which of my crazy artifacts do I want to copy? It costs two. I mean, yeah, this is really good. Next, we got Drain Power. It is blue-blue for a sorcery. Target player activates a mana ability of each land they control. Then that player loses all unspent mana, and you add the mana lost this way.
Yeah, so I've actually had this played against me once in Commander. It sucks. Wow.
Yeah,
because when they play this on you, you basically have to use your mana at instant speed, or they just get to use your mana that turn, basically.
Yep. That's actually pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's probably an underrated card. I've only had it played on me once, but when it was played on me, it was good because they played this, and then they were like, okay, then use your mana to play like Consecrated Sphinx. And then they had two mana open still to play Mana Drain on whatever I played. I was like, fantastic. Freaking mono blue decks.
Mono blue, baby. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I have never seen that card. That is actually very good.
Yeah, I don't know what the last reprinting of it was, so it's probably an expensive card.
It's probably pricey, which is probably why you don't see it much.
Next up, we got the OG Merfolk OG. Lord of Atlantis. Blue-blue, all Merfolk gain Island Walk and +1/+1 when this is a play. That's a 2/2.
Back when Merfolk were a Legacy deck, this was definitely part of it. Like, this is a good card for that tribe.
Yeah, and it's definitely played if you play Merfolk Tribal Commander decks. You play it in the...
Yeah.
It's a pretty solid
Don't see Merfolk as much these days, but yeah, back like when I was first getting into Legacy, back in like 2013, 14, somewhere in there, like Merfolk were kind of a thing, so.
I used to
see this a lot.
I think it's the Professor's Commander deck is Merfolk.
Oh, really? Yeah. Just don't see it anymore. It's just not as into the meta as it used to be. Next, we got Magical Hack. It is one island for an instant. Change the text of target spell or permanent by replacing all instances of one basic land type with another. Gross.
For example, you could change Swamp Walk to Planeswalk.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of a lame card. I don't think you're ever going to play this.
Oh, so it doesn't change the like what like a card can create, like if it creates like white or blue.
What does it say?
It says change the text of target spell or permanent by replacing all instances of one basic land type with another.
I think you can use it to change your lands based on that new Oracle text.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it's dumb. Like, yeah, do I really care that I'm saying those... blue to change my green into a blue?
This is one of those weird. Like, a lot of the older sets have had like weird cards like this that were. I don't know how often they were played back then, but yeah, you don't see stuff like this anymore.
Yeah, you're not going to play this card. Next up, we got Mahani Jin, which I think is a common now.
Yeah.
6 for a 5/6 flyer. Not going to play this unless you're playing a Jin tribal deck.
Yeah, literally kind of basic 5/6 flyer for 6. Yeah, yeah, that was a rare back then. I remember when Magic was simpler.
Yeah, right? Simple Magic. 6 mana, 5/6 flyer. You're going to die.
Yep. Very good. Okay, this fucking card. Yes, this card is played, and it's stupid. It's mana short. It's 2 and a blue for an instant. Tap all lands target player controls, and that player loses all unspent mana. So it just says you're done. You can't do anything.
Yep.
I hate this card. And yeah, this has been played basically a few times.
Basically, like, oh, skip your turn, like that.
Yeah, you just basically don't get a turn.
Yeah, I've had it played on me a couple times. You're gonna play it in the mono blue deck. Still played today. It's kind of the thing with these old cards. Either they're really good or they're really bad.
Yep, there's really not a middle ground. The balance was very lopsided back in the day.
Next up, we got the OG Pirate Ship. 4 and a blue for a 4/3 that can tap, ping some damage, but it can't attack unless its opponent has an island.
Is that what the new can't attack unless said? Defending player controls an island, yep.
Yeah, okay.
And then when you control no islands, you have to sacrifice it.
Okay. But yeah, so you play this in the Pingers deck.
Yep.
But you play it as a common. It's not a rare.
Yeah, it's not a rare. Not anymore.
It's an alpha. I think it's like $100 in alpha if you have the alpha version. But
yeah. I mean, it's cool. It was a cool card back in the day, but yeah, it's just there's way better stuff nowadays to play. Next up, we got Sleight of Mind. It is 1 blue for an instant. It's another one of these weird cards. Change the text to target spell or permanent by replacing all instances of one color word with another. So you may change target black spell to target blue spell. This effect lasts indefinitely. That's just weird.
Yeah, or like if you have like a pyroblast, you could change it to counter your green spell.
Green or something, yeah.
It's like you're never going to play this card because it's a waste of a slot.
This is maybe a thing back when there was like a lot less utility back in the day, but now there's just, you have so many things that do like just pretty much anything you want now. So these cards just aren't useful anymore.
Next up, we got fucking asshole card, Stasis. Players don't adapt. Cumulative upkeep of 1 blue, right?
Yep.
Yep.
and it costs a whole 2 mana to play.
Yep, and players don't untap.
This card sucks.
Everyone hates playing against Stasis. Fucking Stack Stack. Everyone hates
gross.
It.
Gross. Yeah, it is literally this card is the epitome of blue. This just literally says you can't play the game. I'm gonna have all the fun now. Like, that is literally blue.
Well, you don't get to untap card. Either with this effect.
That's true, but you find a way around it, though. You usually don't care. You usually don't need to for some reason. Next we got Thought Lace. It is 1 blue for an instant. Target spell or permanent becomes blue. So that's another one of these switcher color cards.
Another switch color card. Not great. Not
useful. Not anymore.
All right, next up we got... Time Twister.
The 9th card.
The only power 9 that's legal at Commander. And you basically shuffle your hand library and graveyard together into a new deck and draw a new hand of seven.
Yep. And it costs a whole three mana to do that.
Yeah, so it's basically like Wheel of Fortune, but blue. Except for you do get to shuffle your graveyard and library into your deck.
And this is everybody, not just one person.
Yeah. So
yeah,
it's a good card. It's not, you know, the price of Time Twister good. Like, if you have, what is it, $1,500 for a Time Twister, and you really are playing a Wheels deck and you really need this effect, sure. But could you just get a Wheel of Fortune or a, you know, what's the other blue one? Windfall?
Windfall. I'm pretty sure both. You can buy
$3.
Yeah, like, they're
Wheel of Fortune's a couple hundred. But
yeah, Wheel of Fortune's more expensive, but it's still, like, at least a tenth of the price of this, if not, like, a 100th of the price of this. Like, yeah, you don't need to buy Time Twister. I'm sorry. I mean, yes, you can buy one just to say, I have a piece of the Power 9.
It's definitely a good card, and I've had it played against me. My buddy has one, and it's in his deck, so...
I don't think I've ever had... I don't think I've actually seen this card in person before.
You know Josh that we play drafts with?
Yeah. Oh,
he plays this
one?
In his commander
okay.
deck. He has one.
That's rude. All right. Next up, we got Vesuvian Doppelganger. It is 3 blue-blue for a shapeshifter, it counts as. You may have Vesuvian Doppelganger enter the battlefield as a copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it doesn't copy that creature's color, and it has, at the beginning of your upkeep, you may have this creature become a copy of target creature, except it doesn't copy that creature's color, and it has this ability, and it's a 0/0. So this is basically the original clone that you could change what it was.
Yeah, every upkeep
in play. Which, that's kind of cool. That kind of warrants additional.
Yeah, this is still played in clone decks. There is obviously a cheaper reprinting of it.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Assuming you don't want to spend the alpha prices.
Yeah, the alpha price is probably pretty pricey.
But then you get this sweet old school look.
The art is cool. I mean, I love the old art. The old art's like so good. There's so many good pieces back in the day.
Next up, we got Volcanic Eruption, X, blue, 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 for a sorcery. It destroys X mountains and does X damage to each player and each creature in play. This does see some play in, like, it's like a sideboard card against red. But, like, I mean, in Commander, unless your opponents play a lot of red, you're not going to play this.
Yeah.
Or you just want to, you know, do a shit ton of damage to people.
Yeah, it's only good if you're playing as red people. I mean...
Well, you can still do X damage, right? Or do you have to destroy X mountains?
No, okay. Actually, so the new Oracle is different. I think I don't know if they changed it or what. So the new Oracle text says, destroy X target mountains. Volcanic Eruption deals damage to each creature and each player equal to the number of mountains put in a graveyard this way.
Oh, so it's like, but then it's like, yes, different. Now it's horrible because you have to destroy the mountains to deal damage.
Yep.
So yeah, now it's unplayable.
Yeah, it's literally unplayable with that text. The old text, yeah, it looks like it's basically like a blaze or something. But...
Yeah.
Well, that's blue. Blue definitely has some relevant cards still.
Yeah, because...
And some, like, really blue. Crazy cards, like including the only Power 9 that we're going to cover here. So, a lot going on. So now we are on to black. And a CCR song comes to mind when I see this one. It is called Bad Moon. It is
a bad moon rising.
Yeah, it's a bad moon rising. It's one and a black for an enchantment. Black creatures get +1/+1. So
and you do see
pretty
this
basic.
A lot still. You do see this a lot still in mono black commander decks. One of the very first commander decks I played against was the Sendikar guy that gives all black creatures 1/1, and then they played Bad Moon in their deck to give all
right,
black
yeah
as well. So it's a static buff for 2 mana. Like, that's pretty good. Like, you're gonna
yeah, it's definitely
it
not bad.
Black. But outside of mono black, I don't think you're playing it.
It's very unplayable otherwise. I mean, I will say, like, nowadays, like, to get a +1/+1 counter on, like, all creatures you control, it usually costs a lot more than 2 mana. Like, right. It usually costs like 4 or 5 to do like that kind of effect. So that is decent in that, right? But it is only for black, so it is definitely a situation.
Next up, we got Deathlace, another card we're not going to play. Changes the color word of another card to black.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just unusable nowadays. Yeah. Next up, we got Demonic Hordes. It is 3 black, black, black. So 6 total for a demon creature. It has tapped, destroy target land. At the beginning of your upkeep, unless you pay 3 blacks, tap Demonic Hordes and sacrifice the land of an opponent's choice. And it has it's a 5/5.
So you're paying 6 mana for a 5/5 that can tap and destroy land. That's good.
Uh-huh.
But then you have to pay 3 blacks every upkeep or you're losing your land.
Yep. So that's double-edged sword there.
Yeah. I mean, I can see this being played if your opponent, if you have like people that play lands decks and you just hate their lands and you want to hate on them. But I mean, I'd rather at that point just play Armageddon, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's way more efficient than this.
Next up, we got Lich. It's black, 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 black for an enchantment. You want to read the Oracle text for this?
Yeah, I got it. As Lich enters the battlefield, you lose life equal to your life total. You don't lose the game for having 0 or less life. If you would gain life, draw that many cards instead. Whenever you're dealt damage, sacrifice that many non-token permanents. If you can't, you lose the game. When Lich is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, you also lose the game.
Yeah, so it's basically you don't lose the game card, play this, and then you start sacking off permanents.
Yep. I feel like there's an enchantment that's similar to this. Was it like Lich's Tome or whatever it was called back in the day?
Yeah, they also reprinted this.
Yeah. Which is kind of it was a little different, but it was kind of similar, I think. But yeah. Yeah, interesting. I guess it could be played. I don't know. But honestly,
you'd obviously still only play it in mono black.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays you just play Platinum Angel or something like that. You flat out don't lose.
this can draw you cards.
This can draw you cards, that is true. That is one upside, but this has a lot of ways you can also lose, so they just like destroy it, then you're just kind of screwed. This is an OG one. Lord of the Pit. It is 4 black, 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 so 7 for a demon. Flying Trample, 7/7. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice a creature other than Lord of the Pit. If you can't Lord of the Pit, deal 7 damage to you.
Yeah, so this was an OG demon. I used to see this occasionally in like the original Kalia deck, because they could throw in a 7/7 Flying Trample attacking you. Now I think it's just outclassed because the demons nowadays are better because you don't have to sack creatures or take 7 damage.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But 7 for a 7/7 Flying Trample isn't bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That was really powerful back in the day. I mean, based on how like these were balanced back in the day, like this was a crazy powerful card. Now it's just like, it's fine.
Yeah. Next up we got Mind Twist. Black and X. I think it's target opponent discards X cards at random.
Yep, that's right, for a sorcery.
a lot of extra text on this old version that is not needed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rude card, but yeah, it is. There's other cards that do basically the same thing nowadays.
You do still play this in like a discard deck.
Yeah, so. Like a Hypnotic Scepter kind of.
Well, yeah, or if you're playing like Waste Not effects or Turgrid or something, you would play this card.
Yeah. One you're not going to see much though. All right, next we got Nether Shadow. It is black, black for a spirit creature with haste, and is a 1/1. At the beginning of your upkeep, if Nether Shadow is in your graveyard with 3 or more creature cards above it, you may put Nether Shadow onto the battlefield. So again, this is why graveyard order matters, and you will get in trouble if you shuffle it.
Yeah. It's one of those old cards where the graveyard order matters.
That's why in Dredge, like, you have to actually, like, you know, splay your graveyard because it does matter. Like, if you're playing a Dredge deck.
Only if you have a card that references it, though.
Yeah. Most like cards this. Don't.
Like, nowadays. If you have this, or, like, what's the other one that returns the top creature card?
Yeah.
Like, Shallow Grave or something, whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
That's the kind of card where you would have to pay attention to the order, so.
Yeah.
Next up is the OG Nightmare, 5 and a black for a star with flying, equal to power, toughness, or equal number of swaps you haven't played. You can still play it in mono black. I played it in my first mono black deck. I feel like now there's so many creatures that are just better than it that
I used to play it way back when as well. But yeah, I haven't seen Nightmare play in a very long time.
Yeah, now it's kind of just a nostalgia card if you play it. Yeah, but you're only going to play this in mono black or a deck with like Urborg or something.
Yeah, it's more where it matters. Oh, I love that old art. Oh, God, the old art's so good.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Speaking of OG, here's the OG Royal Assassin. One black for a creature that's a human assassin. It's a 1/1, and it taps to destroy target tapped creature.
Yep, still a good card. Still played.
Still played. And basically any zombie or, you know, mono black deck, you probably will see something like this.
Next up is Warp Artifact. It's black, very enchanted artifact. Deals 1 damage to the artifact's controller at the start of each turn. It's okay. I don't think you're going to play this anymore.
No.
Like, who cares about paying him for 1 every turn?
You rather just destroy their artifact, most likely. Like,
yeah, except for black.
I mean, I guess black doesn't really have that.
Doesn't have a ton of destroy artifact cards. Yeah.
So, I can see.
I don't even know if it has 1. It might have 1.
And yeah, I don't know. It might. It has a destroy enchantment card now, finally.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to get rid of artifacts in black.
Yeah. So, that makes sense. I understand why this is made back then. But you're usually trying to do other stuff with your slots. Oh, yes. Now we have the original Will-O-The-Wisp. It is 1 black for a spirit creature with flying. It's a 0/1. It has pay a black, regenerate Will-O-The-Wisp.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
I don't see this played a ton, but you could still play it, like especially in like a deck where you just want a flying blocker.
Yeah. Like it's just a blocker that as long as you have a mana, it keeps blocking.
Yep. All right, and then we got Word of Command, which I'm probably going to need to read the Oracle text for that.
Yeah, you probably want to.
look at target opponent's hand and choose a card from it. You control that player until Word of Command finishes resolving. The player plays that card if able. While doing so, the player can activate mana abilities only if they're from lands that player controls and only if mana they produce is spent to activate other mana abilities of lands the player controls and or to play that card. If the chosen card is cast as a spell, you control the player while the spell is resolving. Basically, you force someone to play the spell and you get to choose the targets and stuff.
Yeah. You know, they just take control of what they can react with. It's 2 black for an instant. I don't know. I've personally never seen this played.
I've never seen it played. I know some people who said they were thinking about adding it, though.
I could see the value, especially in Commander. Especially in black, because I feel like black doesn't really have a lot of ways to defend itself like this.
Yeah.
So.
There's the best case for it would be like, you play it when someone's attacking you, and you hope that the person that you're against has a kill spell in their hand that they can instantly cast and kill it.
Yeah, and kill, like, something of theirs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, our very last black card is Zombie Master. It is one black for a zombie creature. It's a 2/3. Other zombie creatures have Swamp Walk. Other zombies have pay a black, regenerate this permanent.
Yeah, you definitely play this in a zombie tribal deck still. It's a lore yep. that gives all your zombies Swamp Walk and regen.
Yep, it's very good. That's black. Black's still got some pretty decent stuff in it.
Yeah, it's got a couple cards. They're still yep. played.
Definitely got some stuff that's playable.
On to red, it's Chaos Lace. Same one of the other ones. Changes yep. a color word for one red. Not going to play this card.
Not playing ever. It.
If someone plays this card and they use it and it's not for some weird targeted infinite combo thing, tell me what it is.
Okay? Yeah, please let us know. I've never seen any of these like lace or whatever cards played. So, here's a classic. We got Earthquake. And it is red and X for a sorcery. It deals X damage to each creature without flying and each player. Still played, still pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, still good. Especially
In a thing like Commander.
Red or a red deck that is supposed to buff out and kill everyone. Not fun.
Like, yeah, you can literally kill players with that card if you've got enough mana.
And then next up, another card, probably one of the most cards that everyone wants to play, is Fork.
Yeah.
Red. It copies an instant or sorcery spell on the stack.
So yep.
the original Fork.
Literally used to like create like instant loop or infinite loops and things like that.
Yep, all the time. It's used for infinite copies.
Usually what it's for. Yep. If you see it played, that's usually a little indicator of what's probably in store for you. You're probably
or they have some weird just copy spells that I can get.
Yeah, or there's that too. Those decks do.
But yeah, a lot of times you have a fork and another fork effect, and then you just go infinite.
Yeah, then you're just like, oh, I get infinite lands. So or
fork,
I get
fork
damage.
My fork, to fork my fork, to fork my fork, which is infinite copies, which makes Kalamax, you know, 1 billion, 1 billion, and then attack you yeah. for greater damage.
Attack you for 1 billion damage. Yeah, that's always fun. That's always fun to play against. It's a great time. next, this is another kind of OG one here. Goblin King. It is one red for a goblin creature with a that's a 2/2. Other goblins get +1/+1 and have Mountain Walk.
Yeah, it's another card you'd play in Goblin Tribal. Otherwise, you're not playing it. But it's yep. a good card in that deck.
Literally made for Goblin Tribal.
Next up, we got Granite Gargoyle. 2 and a red for a 2/2 flying with pay a red, gets +0/+1 until end of turn.
So the opposite of fire breathing. That's interesting.
Yes.
So it just becomes a big butt blocker for you.
Yeah, I mean, this is like one of those mediocre cards you could play, but like I don't see why. Like you probably wouldn't.
This is probably one you wouldn't play. And I've personally never seen it played, and just probably, you know, for good reason. there's better stuff. Next up, we got Mana Barbs. It is 3 and a red for an enchantment. Whenever a player taps a land for mana, Mana Barbs deals 1 damage to that player. We always love cards that do stuff like this.
Yeah, if you tap a
land. Hate bears, anybody? Yeah, this is definitely still played and definitely irritating as hell.
Then next up is a similar card, Mana Flayer. It's whenever a player taps a land for mana, it produces an extra 1 of that mana.
Yep, so that's kind of like a group hug.
This is also still played because doubles mana.
Yeah, you see it in group hug and other things like that for sure. Or decks that
just want
ramp.
Your mana. Yeah, you just want double mana. And it's more important to you than your other opponent's head.
You're playing like Eldrazi or something, or you know, some Tron, something like that. You'd maybe play something like this. Next, we got Power Surge. It is red for an enchantment. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, Power Surge deals X damage to that player, where X is the number of untapped lands they controlled at the beginning of their this turn. So, okay, so that's kind of like a Price of Progress kind of effect.
Well, it's It's more like when you go to untap, you take damage from every land that was tapped.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's all right.
You can play it if you want to deal a bunch of damage to people.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Raging River, which is whenever it's red-red for an enchantment, whenever one or more creatures you control attack, each defending player divides all creatures without flying they control into a left pile and a right pile. Then for each attacking creature you control, choose left or right. That creature can't be blocked this combat except by creatures with flying and creatures in the pile with the chosen label.
Interesting. So you kind of like...
You divide their board in two and can choose what half of their stuff can't block.
You have their attack in a way? So like all their good stuff, you're just like, okay, that's all not attacking me.
No, it's when you attack, so it's they can't block with half their stuff.
Or no, that's what... Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, so that's even better, honestly, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I've personally never seen this played.
No, I don't know why you would play it, because like, I'd rather just play a card that says, like, target opponent can't block this turn.
Yeah, because there's definitely cards that do that that are way better. And,
yeah.
I mean, it costs two, which isn't bad, but yeah, it's a little outclass. Let's see. Come on. Next, we got Rock Hydra. It is X red red for a Hydra creature. That's a 0/0. Rock Hydra enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. For each one damage that would be dealt to Rock Hydra, if it has a +1/+1 counter on it, remove a +1/+1 counter from it and prevent that damage. And then you can pay a red, prevent the next one damage that would be dealt to Rock Hydra this turn, or you can pay three red, put a +1/+1 counter on Rock Hydra, activate only during your upkeep.
Yeah, so this Hydra is actually still played in like red, green Hydra decks, because you get one counters that count as heads, and you can regrow heads basically, put more counters
on
it.
Yeah, which is pretty good. As long as you got the mana, yeah, you can keep this thing alive for quite a while.
Yeah, it's good in the X spell deck.
Oh, for sure.
Next up is Rock of Care Ridges. It's three in a red for a 3/3 flyer. That's it. It's just three.
Pretty basic. Good old 4/3/3, and it's a freaking rare. Yep. Gotta love it.
Not gonna play this card.
It's not playable anymore. Next we got Sedge Troll. It is 2 and a red for a troll creature with 2/2. That is a 2/2. Sedge Troll gets +1/+1 as long as you control a swamp, and then you have pay a swamp, regenerate it.
Yeah, I've actually played this card a couple times.
That's not bad.
In Mana decks, but I feel there's better cards now. It's just like a medium card if you need a 3-drop that can regenerate.
It's an okay 3-drop.
Yeah, it's like a 3/3 for 3 that has regeneration in a red black deck. Which is okay.
Yeah.
Next up, we got the OG Shivan Dragon. 6 for a 5/5 flyer with fire breathing, which is 1 red for +1/+0 until end of turn. The nostalgia for this card is awesome. I use this card if you play Gareth, because you can cast it off that.
Yeah, that's good.
I feel like the dragons nowadays kind of outclass it, though. So
yeah, there's much better ones.
Yeah. But if you want the nostalgia, you still play the Shivan Dragon. It was literally like the best card at the time.
If it's ever in like sealed, it's a very good sealed card. You know, stuff like that. But in Commander, not so much anymore, unfortunately. This is like another kind of OG one. Smoke. It is red-red for an enchantment. Players can't untap more than one creature during their untap steps.
Yeah, and then people hate you because you only untap one thing.
Good old Pillow Fort.
Fucking stacks. next up, we got the Two-Headed Giant of Forest. 4 and a red for a 4/4 with trample. It can block 2 attacking creatures.
That's not bad. Cost $5, which is kind of, but you know.
Yeah, it's okay. Probably not gonna play it.
It's mediocre.
5 for 4/4 trample, like a block 2 creatures. Don't care.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, eh. There's other cards that can do similar things for a lot less. And finally, last but certainly not least, is Wheel of Fortune. It is 2 and a red for a sorcery. Each player discards their hand, then draws 7 cards. Yes, it's played, and it costs a lot of money.
Yeah, I have this card. Reason.
God. I remember when Wheel of Fortune cost like $15.
Like, I don't know. I think
when
it's
I
like,
was a kid,
like 300-ish like, bucks for the revised.
I wish I could have bought like 10 of those fuckers, man. I'd be rich.
You play it in wheel decks. There's a lot of wheel decks out there. Nekusar,
yep, that's
and
why. Yeah,
Shabraz and all that.
A lot of decks definitely revolve around it.
Some people just play it in red decks because when you have one card, it just draws you 7.
Yeah, 3 to draw 7. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. So that's red. Red's got some pretty decent stuff still. And some like really dickish stuff too. So yeah. Good times.
Next up for green, we got Aspect of Wolf, which is a really weird worded card here. So it's 1 and a green for an enchantment aura that enchants a creature. Enchanted creature gets plus X plus Y. Where X is half the forest you control rounded down, and Y is half the forest you control rounded up. So I'd rather just pay the extra mana for Blanchwood Armor.
Exactly.
But if you want to save 1 mana, you can get half of Blanchwood Armor's effect. 1 and a green.
That's so weird. Oh my god. I've never seen this before. And yeah, there's a reason why, because there's way better cards now. It's so
yeah, this is the rare you hope you didn't open in the pack.
Yeah, if you like open an alpha pack and you get that, you're kind of sad. just a little bit. Next, however, is a card that is actually very good and still played. It is Birds of Paradise. It is a green for a bird creature with flying. It's a 0/1, and you can tap it for a mana of any color.
Yeah,
very good.
It might be the best mana dork ever printed.
Like, it really is.
It's a 0/1 flyer for 1 that taps for mana. Like, it blocks flying, and it taps for mana of any color. You can play it in any deck.
It's one of the most versatile 1-drops, like, ever made, honestly. Like, it's very good. And yes, it is very much played in everything, and for good reason.
Next up, we got Cockatrice. Flying 2/4, and if a non-wall creature blocks it, is destroyed. What? Okay, I'm going to read the Oracle.
Whenever it blocks or becomes blocked by a non-wall creature, destroy that creature at end of combat.
Okay, so yeah, so it destroys anything that blocks that's not a wall, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's like pseudo Death Touch.
Yeah, it's like a weird Death Touch before it was the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not really a thing anymore.
Not gonna play this.
Cards that do that are not 5 mana.
It did spawn a like Magic website called Cockatrice that you could play Magic online.
Yeah, there you go. come on, there we go. If it would load, okay. Ooh. This is a classic card as well. Elvish Archers. It is 1 and a green for an elf archer creature that's a 2/1 and it has first strike.
A 1/2.
No, wait. Oh, wait. Is the Oracle wrong? The Oracle says 2/1.
Oh, they could have changed it in a new print.
It's possible they flipped it. I don't know. Possible. But yeah, this is a card that you might still see from time to time. Like, especially in an elf tribal. Like, it's okay.
Sorry, I lost my mouse and I lost all my images.
Oh, shoot.
All right. So yeah, Elvis Archers. You might still play it. I don't know if it's a 1-2 or a 2-1 now, but
yeah. You know, yeah. The new Oracle says 2-1, but the old card says 1-2. So I don't know. yeah, Elvis Tribal maybe.
Next up is Force of Nature. 2 green. 6 mana for an 8/8 trampler. You must pay 4 green during your upkeep or it deals 8 damage to you.
Yeah, not played anymore.
No, but it is a good card and I've had it played against me just for OGness.
I do actually own a copy of this, not obviously from Alpha. I think it's from like Revised or something. But yeah, it's a cool card, sure. Like it's kind of like old nostalgic green, but yeah, you don't want a creature dealing 80 if you can't pay 4. So there's better stuff nowadays, obviously.
Like Colossal Dreadmaw.
Yeah, exactly. Next we got Fungusaur. It is 3 and a green for a fungus dinosaur creature. That's a 2/2. Whenever Fungusaur is dealt damage, put a +1/+1 counter on it.
Yeah, it's good.
It's pretty good.
Still played in fungus. Still played in fungus decks, and I've seen it in 1/1 counter decks too.
There's a reason for it. It's very sticky. If you can't deal 2 right away, then.
Next up, we got Gaia's Liege, which I'm gonna have 3 Oracle decks for.
Yeah, that's got a lot of text on it.
If my screen will load.
I know, mine's been slow too.
Okay, as long as Gaia's Leech isn't attacking, its power and toughness are each equal to the number of forests you control. As long as it is attacking, its power and toughness are equal to the number of forests defending player controls. And it has tap, target land becomes a forest until it leaves the battlefield. So it's actually pretty good. You could play
it's
that.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's playable. It just becomes, especially if you're green, like it can probably be pretty big. It does cost 6, which is a lot, but yeah. You know, it's mediocre. Next we got Kudzu. It is 1 green for an aura enchantment. It's an enchant land. When enchanted land becomes trapped, destroy it. That land's controller may attach Kudzu to a land of their choice. So it just goes around the circle, around the table.
Got the land, it's destroyed. Pass it around.
Pass it around.
If you want to be a dick, you can play this card.
Probably not going to see it, but you might have the one player that just wants to watch the world burn, so they'll play this.
Next up, we got Life Lace, same as all the other ones. Probably not gonna play it. 1 green, change the color word to green.
Not gonna do it. Next, we got Living Artifact. It is green for an R enchantment with enchant artifact. Whenever you're dealt damage, put that many vitality counters on Living Artifact. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may remove a vitality counter from Living Artifact. If you do, gain 1 life.
Wait, so whenever you lose life, you put counters on it?
Yeah.
And then every turn, you can gain 1 life?
At the beginning of your upkeep, you can gain it back, basically.
But you only gain 1 life back. You can't gain it all back.
Yeah. Yeah, you can only remove 1 at a time.
So that's interesting. Like, maybe in a life gain deck, if you have triggers that are like when you gain life, you might use this or something.
Yeah, there might be a use for it or something like that. Outside of that, though, it's okay.
It's not great.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Living Lands. All forests are now 1/1s that are also lands.
Interesting. You've got a lot of land, I guess.
Yeah, it's good. Make all your forests into 1/1 creatures and swing out.
Yeah. So that can be a win con, honestly, especially if you have a way to buff your stuff. Like, they can get out of hand real quick. Next, we got Natural Selection. It is green for an instant. Look at the top three cards of target player's library, then put them back in any order. You may have that player shuffle. So it's kind of like an old school, like...
I didn't know that this existed.
Fate Seal or something like that. And green does this? This is not...
I know, that's what I said. It's weird.
This is a very blue effect.
It's like a blue effect.
Interesting. Yeah, I can't say I've ever seen this.
Top three cards in a player's library. You could rearrange them in any order or shuffle.
Or have them shuffle, yeah.
So it's Ponder, but in green?
Yeah.
But you could choose an opponent?
Yeah, it's target player.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's honestly pretty good. I wonder how many reprints there are of this, if any.
Probably like zero. And that's
probably why we don't see it, and it probably costs like... ass ton of money because it's alpha. But if it were ever reprinted, this would be pretty good. Oh, here's a classic. Oh, God, with this old effect,
so
too.
Next up is Timberwolves. It's one for one with banding.
So banding, if no one knows what that is, I'm sure, is any creatures with banding and up to one without can attack in a band. Bands are blocked as a group. If any creatures with banding you control are blocking or being blocked by a creature, you divide that creature's combat damage, not its controller, among any of the creatures it's being blocked by or is blocking. Banding was weird as hell, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of like you merge them into one creature, and like my 2/1/1s would be a 2, would attack as a 2/2, but I think they could still block it the other way. I don't know. Blocking is weird.
It's weird. You don't see it ever, so don't worry about it. But if you do, that's a very one in a million instance. This is a classic card too, I think, is the Verduran Enchantress. It is one green for a human druid creature that's a 0/2. Whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you may draw a card.
Yep, this has been reprinted a bunch too. I play in every Enchantress deck.
Literally any enchantment deck, Matt.
That's why it's called
an
Enchantress
deck
because the Enchantress draws your cards. Enchantress.
And again, I love this art so much. God, I miss the old art.
Next up, we got Web, which is one green enchant creature, gets +0/+2, and can block flying. So it has reach.
Yeah, basically gets reach, +0/+2.
That's not bad for one mana.
It's fine. I mean, and that's kind of green's weakness usually, even nowadays. So, yeah, it's legit. Well, that's green. Green honestly had some... Honestly, there's a few things here I've literally never seen before. Some of it's kind of good.
Well, so, now onto the artifacts.
Yes, artifacts. So first of all, we got Gauntlet of Might. It is 4 for an artifact. Red creatures get +1/+1. Whenever a mountain is tapped for mana, its controller adds an additional mountain. So these
all
are
red creatures get 1/1, and your mountains tap for extra red?
Yeah, for an additional red.
Is that everybody or just you?
That is everybody.
That's interesting.
It's controller.
Yeah, it's an interesting card.
Yeah.
You can play that mono red.
It's playable.
the card that everyone hates because I used to play it.
Yeah, you fucking did. It sucked.
It's the Ankh of Mishra. It's 2 mana for an artifact that deals 2 damage to a player when the land comes into play under their control.
So basically, fuck landfall, and paired with bounce is the dumbest fucking thing ever.
Yeah, I used to play the cards that were like, oh, play this, and then I bounce your land, and then if you play it, you take 2. Or I'd play like the haze card with fading. I remove 5 of your lands, and they all come back into play. And
you take like 10. Like, oh, there goes half your life. Hope you didn't die. God, this is like Cyclonic, or no, Cyclonic Rift is non-mana, so that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. Like Boomerang and all that stuff.
Yeah, the old school bounce cards. Yeah, this card was annoying to play
against. Anyone who plays against a landfall deck and is sick of losing to it, play this and you're
dead. Play that! I'm sure you can find it. I'm sure it's been reprinted at least once or twice. So it's
been reprinted at least to revise, maybe a couple times after that.
So it shouldn't be horribly expensive, but it's a card you don't see much, though. We just did because of you. next we got the old Clockwork stuff. I remember this stuff too. Clockwork Beast. It costs 6. It's an artifact creature that's a beast. Clockwork Beast enters the battlefield with 7/+1/+0 counters on it. It is a 0/4 on top of that. So, at the beginning of combat, if Clockwork Beast attacked or blocked this combat, remove a +1/+0 counter from it. Then you can pay X and tap it. Put up to X +1/+0 counters on Clockwork Beast. This ability can't cause the total number of +1/+0 counters on Clockwork Beast to be greater than 7. Activate only during your upkeep.
Yeah, so it's 6 for a, 7/11 that gets smaller every time you attack?
Basically, yeah. Then you can kind of crank it up.
You can put it back up if you want to tap it and pay mana on your upkeep.
It's so interesting. Yeah, it's not really good anymore.
I've seen like one or two Clockwork cards still played, and it's usually in a 1/1 counter deck.
Yeah.
It's usually not.
Or something like with like Modular or something like that. Yeah.
Next up is Cyclopean Tomb, which is pay 2, turn any non-swamp land into a swamp during your upkeep. Pretty sure that's all the text that matters.
Okay, there's a lot of... Okay, so it's pay 2 and tap it, put a Mire counter on target non-swamp land. That land is a swamp for as long as it has the counter on it, activate only during your upkeep.
Okay.
And when it is put into a graveyard, or when this card is put into a graveyard from the battlefield at the beginning of each of your upkeeps for the rest of the game, remove all Mire counters from a land that a Mire counter was put onto with the tomb, but that a Mire counter has not been removed from with the tomb. Okay, that was just weird.
What?
Weird wording. and that was the Oracle text.
Okay, when it's put into a graveyard, the beginning of each year upkeeps for the rest of the game, remove all Mire counters from the land that a Mire counter was put onto. So you turn it into a swamp for as long as it has a Mire counter. Yep. On your upkeep, and then when it dies, you have to remove one every turn until they're all gone. You don't just remove them all at once.
I guess. Yeah, this card's weird as fuck.
It sucks anyway. You're not going to play.
Yeah, you're never going
to
see it.
You don't need to turn lands into swamps for 2 mana.
No.
You can play Urborg and it makes everything a swamp for 0.
Yeah, it's literally in one card. Yeah, that's just one of those weird-ass cards from back in the day. All right. Got this name. Okay, we got Dingus Egg.
Yeah, that's still playing. I just played against me the other day.
Cost 4, it's an artifact. Whenever a land is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, Dingus Egg deals 2 damage to that land's controller. Oh, yeah, that's a dick card.
Yeah, especially in the land destruction decks, how you kill people.
Yeah, kill a bunch of people.
Next up, we got Disrupting Scepter. It's a 3 for an artifact with 3. An opponent discards a card of his or her choice.
Yep. It's 3 and tap. It's 3 and tap, yeah.
Oh, it's 3 and tap. Okay. Yeah. The old one does not have tap.
Yep. Yep. Activate on during your turn. Which is, it's not great anymore.
No, it sucks.
I don't know if it was even good back then, but it's definitely not good now. Next is Force Field. It is 3 for an artifact. Pay 1 the next time an unblocked creature of your choice would deal combat damage to you this turn. Prevent all but 1 of that damage.
That's not bad.
That's actually not bad. You could slip like that. That's definitely...
Everything only deals 1 to you?
Mm-hmm. Basically, it doesn't matter if you have a billion creature. It deals one.
Next up, we got the Helm of Chatzul. What does that say?
Chatzuk. Yeah.
It's one for an artifact. With one, you may give a creature banding until end of turn.
Yep, so you're probably never going to see this played because banding is not a thing anymore.
Yeah, it's not that good of an ability anyway.
No, it wasn't a good ability to begin with. This one is OG as hell. Howling Mine costs two. It's an artifact at the beginning of each player's draw step. If Howling Mine is untapped, that player draws an additional card. Definitely still see this played a lot, and it's been reprinted to death. So
yeah, it's played in Grubug. It's played in any artifact deck where you could tap it so that the opponent doesn't draw it.
Yeah.
The old wording just says every player draws an extra card.
Yeah, no, they definitely changed that.
Yeah. Next up is Illusionary Mask.
You're probably going to want to read the Oracle text for this one.
Which is two for an artifact with pay X. Choose a creature card in your hand whose mana cost could be paid by some amount or all of the amount of mana you spent on X. If you do, cast it face down as a 2/2 creature spell without paying its mana cost.
If the creature that spell becomes... Sure.
If the creature that spell becomes as it resolves has not been turned face up and would assign or deal damage, be dealt damage, or become tapped, instead turn it face up. Okay.
Is this for, like, morph, maybe?
So it's basically you pay the mana cost of a card in your hand and morph it down as a 2/2, and then anytime it's dealt damage, attacks, or becomes tapped, or deals damage, it flips up and becomes what it normally is. So this is it turns non-morph creatures into morph creatures, which is weird.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know really why you would really want to play this, because usually the whole point of playing a morph creature is it has an ability.
Yeah.
That triggers when you flip it.
Right.
So, this is just interesting. So, I guess it's so they don't know what you're playing, I guess, but...
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's not a card you're going to see.
It's a terrible card. Don't play it.
Don't play it, yeah. Next, we got Jade Monolith. It is 4 for an artifact. Pay 1. The next time a source of your choice would deal damage to target creature this turn, that source deals that damage to you instead. So you just want to protect your creatures, I guess.
Or if they bolt it, you just make them hit it to you instead.
Yeah, which, that's legit, yeah.
Or you could save your creature, like, I'll take damage, but I also am blocking doing damage to your creature, so.
Yeah.
Next up is a card still reprinted today in Standard, and it's good and limited, but pretty bad otherwise. Jadeitome. It's 4 mana for an artifact with pay 4 and tap it, I believe. Draw a card.
Yep, tap, draw. And pay 4. Yep. So not bad, really, for, you can... Especially if
you have... It's not bad, but it's not great for today's cards.
No, there's
still reprinted here and there, though.
New stuff. It's a common these days.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a rare anymore.
Definitely not a rare.
Next, we got the Cormis Bell. It is 4 for an artifact. All swamps are 1/1 black creatures that are still lands. So, that's not bad. Mono black deck.
You could also play it against a mono black deck to turn all the creatures into swamps and then board wipe.
But you can also do that.
Like, now you have no lands!
Oops. Yeah, that's just rude as hell.
I don't think you're going to see this, though.
Probably not.
But it's funny.
It is kind of funny.
I almost want to put that in the deck and just make someone's lands creatures and then blow them off.
That would be so rude. Oh my god. Well, these next cards all look pretty familiar, don't they?
Next up is one of the best mana rocks, Mana Vault. It's a one for an artifact that taps to add 3 colors to your mana pool, and then it doesn't untap during your untap step unless you pay 4, and if you leave it tapped, you take 1.
Yep. Very good card, especially if you have like a Voltaic Key or something like that to untap it for you. That's usually what you do to get around that. Yeah,
and even if not, it's very good fast mana for the beginning.
Yeah,
of the
it's fast, and it's good fast mana anyway. So and
it's like, all right, I get one awesome turn to just have a slow turn later.
Yeah, very, very good. This is also a fucking dick card. Meek Stone. 1 for an artifact. Creatures with power 3 or greater don't untap during their controller's untap steps. Yes, this is played against me a lot, and I fucking hate it.
Yep.
So
and it's
annoying.
A hate bears card and commander as well.
Very much so. Another OG card here.
Next up, we got Disc. Abs Disc. 4 mana for artifact. It's comes into play tapped, and then pay 1 and tap it, destroy all creatures, enchantments, and artifacts.
Yep. Still one of the OG board wipes, and you still see it played quite a bit. And you even see Magus of the Disc, which is literally the creature version of this card, also played. So,
yep.
Good card, for sure. next, we got Sunglasses of Urza. It is 3 for an artifact. You may spend white mana as though it were red mana. So that's interesting filtering going on there.
I think this was also one of my crazy cards on a previous episode.
Oh. Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
White mana could be red mana.
Don't see it played very much. And there's other cards that like filter land nowadays, so you don't have to pay 3 per se, because there's like lands that do it now.
Right.
This is kind of like one of the OG filtering methods.
Next up, we got The Hive. It's 5 for an artifact with pay 5, tap it, create a 1/1 colorless insect artifact creature token with flying named Wasp. So if you want a Wasp flying generator, you can do that. But I think there's easier ways to do that now. Like
there's far better ways, because 5 to create a 1/1 is not great.
Well, 10 if you do it turn it comes out.
yeah, god, 10 mana. So do I want to pay 10 to get this and a 1/1, or get Progenitus?
Definitely the 1/1 flying loss.
God. Yeah, this card is very, very outclassed, unfortunately. you won't really see that anymore. What's not outclassed, though, is fucking Winter Orb. It is 2 for an artifact. As long as Winter Orb is untapped, players can't untap more than 1 land during their untap steps. Screw that card. It is awful. And it's played all the time.
Yeah, when it gets played against you, you're just like, ah, can we just play Magic, please?
Yeah. That's when you're, when this is played, it's just like, okay, next game.
And the last cards in the set are all the duels.
Of course, which...
which are good, still played today, but yeah. You don't necessarily have to have them anymore. You can play Shocklands. There's a lot of fetchable
Shocklands do the same thing. There's other duels that do the same thing. There's Tri-lands now, even the Triomes.
Yeah, that are fetchable. But fetchable. For Legacy, you have to have them.
Yeah, they're must-haves for Legacy, so yeah. Tundra, Sea, Badlands, Taiga, Savannah, Cerobland? I don't even know what that one is. Bayou, Plateau, and Trop, which are your OG... Scrubland, that's what it is. God, I couldn't read the text. Sorry, guys. Like, why do I not recognize this one? Scrubby, yes. Okay. Just like Underground Sea itself is like what, over a grand now?
It's like $600-$700.
I think at one point it was, but yeah, it might have gone down.
They've gone down a little bit, yeah.
But they're still hella expensive, and they're not must haves as much anymore in Commander as there's other lands that do similar things now, so you don't have to spend an ass ton of money on them.
Well, that's our alpha review here. Some cards still played today. Some cards not great. Some cards kind of consider playing.
Fun walk down memory lane for a lot of them.
Some
of these, like the more mediocre, like, you know, kind of nostalgic cards are like cards that like we basically played when we started playing Magic back in the day. Because like Sheevan Dragon and whatnot were still very much a thing. But yeah. It's definitely a mixed bag. It's up to you if you think it's worth paying. What are alpha packs going for nowadays? Like $400 a pack?
I don't know. Something ridiculous.
Something stupid? Yeah, then you'll cry when you...
Nobody's going to buy an alpha pack, though, because they're wax packs and you can search them.
Yeah, that's fair.
Even if it's unopened, people know what's in it.
Right.
So...
Yeah, so that's that. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for watching, listening. And again, you can check out all of our stuff on mtgplace.net. All of our links and ways to support us are there. Follow us on YouTube if you're not. Also, let us know in the comments of this video if you like this retro review or not. It's for you know, if people don't like it, we won't do the rest of the sets, but hopefully you do, and we'll do them all.
We'd like to, for sure, because this was kind of fun, honestly.
Until next time.
All right. See y'all later.